Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Jill Robbins and Anne Ball. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, a Chinese court has sentenced the scientist who created the world's first gene-edited babies to 3 years in prison. He Jianque was found guilty of illegally practicing medicine and violating research laws. China's official Xinhua news agency announced the court's decision Monday. In November 2018, He Jianque was working as an associate professor at Southern University of Science and Technology in Shenzhen. He announced to the world that he had used gene editing technology known as CRISPR-Cas9 to change the genes of twin baby girls. He claimed to have protected them from getting infected with HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. The announcement fueled an international debate over the ethics of gene editing. The identity of the girls has not been released, and it is not clear if the experiment succeeded. The CRISPR tool has been tested in other places to treat diseases in adults. But many in the scientific community rejected his work as medically unnecessary and morally wrong. That is because the genetic changes could be passed down to future generations. The United States bans editing embryos except for laboratory research. In 2018, He Jianque told the Associated Press that he felt a strong responsibility to make an example. He said that society would decide whether to permit the practice to go forward. He disappeared shortly after he announced his research at a conference in Hong Kong 13 months ago. It appears that government officials detained him first in the city of Shenzhen near the border with Hong Kong. In addition to a prison sentence, the court ordered He Jianque to pay about $430,000. The court ordered shorter sentences for Zhang Renli and Qingjing Zhou for having helped He with his work. They worked at two unnamed medical centers. Xinhua reported the court's decision as saying, "The three accused did not have the proper certification to practice medicine, and in seeking fame and wealth, deliberately violated national regulations in scientific research and medical treatment." The decision also said that the researchers have crossed the bottom line of ethics in scientific research and medical ethics. It was not clear if the 3-year prison term includes any of the time He has already spent in Chinese detention. One Chinese scientist said the sentence should have been greater to urge others not to follow in He's work. Ke Kui-ki is a Tsinghua University researcher who does gene editing research on stem cells. He said He Jianque should be held responsible for anything that happens to the babies or their families as a result of the experiment.
2019, U.S. health officials became very concerned about a mysterious illness related to vaping. Vaping is the act of breathing in vapor through the mouth. It uses a battery-operated electronic device to heat liquid and mix small particles with air. An illness tied to vaping can make a teenager's lungs look like those of an old person. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, reports, as of December 17th, that more than 2,500 people had been hospitalized for injuries connected to vaping. People in 27 American states have died from the illness. The CDC says additional deaths are under investigation. More than 50 deaths have been blamed on vaping. However, new numbers are expected to be released Tuesday. Vaping is popular among people who want to avoid smoking tobacco cigarettes. It also has become a way for people to inhale marijuana to get high. Most of the illnesses have occurred in people who vaped THC, the substance in marijuana that produces a high. In November, American officials reported the discovery of vitamin E acetate in lung tissue from 29 patients. The substance is believed to be used in illegal vaping products containing marijuana. The CDC called vitamin E acetate a chemical of concern. It recommended that the substance not be added to e-cigarette or vaping products while the investigation is ongoing. Chemicals are added to e-cigarettes and other products to provide different tastes. They are then inhaled while vaping. Even when the e-liquids do not contain nicotine, the lungs still take in other chemicals. While many of the flavorings are considered safe in foods, earlier research has suggested that inhaling vapor from these chemicals may damage the lungs, blood vessels, and heart. More than 20% of U.S. high school seniors said they vaped THC in 2019, researchers reported in December. The researchers also found that 7% of students as young as 13 reported vaping THC in the last year. Richard Miek of the University of Michigan led the study. The findings appeared in the medical publication JAMA. Whatever teens can vape has increased dramatically in the last few years, he told Reuters. New information about the harmful effects of e-cigarettes also was released last month. That study showed the use of e-cigarettes increases the risk of developing chronic lung diseases, but less so than smoking regular tobacco cigarettes. The study was published in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine. It looked at 32,000 American adults between 2013 and 2016 who had no signs of lung disease when the study began. Scientists found that those who used e-cigarettes were 1.3 times more likely to develop chronic lung diseases such as asthma, bronchitis, emphysema, and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. For people who used both e-cigarettes and traditional cigarettes, the risk was nearly 3 times higher. Last month, the World Health Organization called for additional rules on the marketing and sales of e-cigarettes as more information about the possible effects of these products becomes known. Health officials are increasingly worried about reports of deaths and illnesses linked to vaping. They see the recent death of a young man in Belgium and reports of vaping-related illnesses in the Philippines as a reason to take stronger action. I'm Jill Robbins.
Within 10 years, nearly half of American adults will be obese or very overweight, a new report predicts. In addition, the researchers warned that 1 in 4 Americans will be severely obese. The new report used a federal study that lasted more than 20 years and included data from 6.3 million adults. The researchers made predictions for the future based on current trends. Their study corrects for a weakness in earlier studies. Before, research usually depended on national health surveys, in which people often reported their weight as less than it really was. It's alarming, said nutrition expert Dr. Lawrence Apple of Johns Hopkins University. He was not involved in the study. We're going to have some pretty awful problems, medically and financially, because so many people weigh too much, he said. The New England Journal of Medicine published the study in December. It was the result of work by researchers at Harvard and George Washington Universities. The chief writer of the study, Zachary Ward, is with Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health in Boston. He spoke about the findings with Reuters News Service. Obesity is getting worse in every state, he said, and especially concerning is severe obesity, which used to be pretty rare and which now will be the most common group for a lot of states across the country. Most affected will be women, blacks, and low-income adults. The study said nearly one-third of people in those groups will be severely obese. Obesity can result in many health problems. The risk for heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and cancer all go up when someone is severely overweight. Obesity is generally defined by a person's body mass index number, or BMI. This is the measure of weight compared to height. A BMI of 30 or greater is considered obese. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that 40% of U.S. adults are obese. The new research predicts that by 2030, about 49% of U.S. adults will be obese. In 29 states, more than half will be. In addition, about one-fourth will suffer severe obesity. The study did not look at the reasons behind the increases, but income is a big driver. Age is a big driver, Ward said. States with younger people have lower obesity rates because people usually gain weight as they age. The state with the lowest obesity rate will be Colorado, which has always had lower rates. Ward said people in Colorado do a lot of outdoor activities and they may have higher income. He added that living at higher elevations like Colorado might also influence the results. There may be something about having to take a little extra energy to do everything at a higher altitude that keeps weights lower, he said. The study was paid for by the JPB Foundation, which studies poverty and problems in society. However, there have been some other hopeful developments in the effort to limit obesity. In June, the CDC reported decreasing obesity rates among the youngest school children on government food aid. Obesity among these children fell from 16% in 2010 to 14% in 2016. I'm Ann Ball.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. Soon after the Civil War ended in 1865, thousands of Americans began to move west to settle the land. The great movement of settlers continued for almost 40 years. The Great Empty West, in time, became fully settled. The discovery of gold had already started a great movement to California. Robert Bostick and Leo Scully tell about the gold rush and the important part cowboys played in settling the West.
Men had rushed to the gold fields with hopes of becoming rich. A few found gold. The others found only hard work and high prices. When their money was gone, they gave up the search for gold. But they stayed in California to become farmers or businessmen or laborers. Some never gave up the search for riches. They moved back toward the east, searching for gold and silver in the wild country between California and the Mississippi River.
Each new gold rush brought more people from the east. Mining camps quickly grew into towns with stores, hotels, even newspapers. Most of these towns, however, lived only as long as gold was easy to find. Then they began to die. In some of the gold centers, big mining companies bought up all the land from those who first claimed it. These companies brought in mining machines that could dig out the gold from deep underground and separate it from the rock that held it. These companies needed equipment and other supplies. Transportation companies were formed. They carried supplies to the mining camps in huge wagon trains pulled by slow-moving oxen. Roads were built, and in some places, railroads.
The great wealth taken from the gold and silver mines was usually invested in other businesses. Shipping, railroads, factories, stores, land companies. More jobs were created in the West, and living conditions got better. More and more people decided to leave the crowded East for a new life in the West. But the big Eastern cities continued to grow. New factories and industrial centers were built. People moved from the farms to find work in the cities.
The growth of these industrial centers created a big demand for food, especially meat. Chicago quickly became the heart of the meat industry. Railroads brought animals to Chicago, where packing companies killed them and prepared the meat for eastern markets. Special railroad cars kept the meat cold so it would remain fresh until sold. As the meat industry grew, the demand for fresh meat increased. More and more cattle were needed.
There were millions of cattle in Texas, but no way to get them to the eastern markets. The closest point on the railroad was Sedalia, Missouri, more than 1,000 kilometers away. Some cattlemen believed it might be possible to walk cattle to the railroad, letting them feed on the open grassland along the way. Early in 1866, a group of Texas cattlemen decided to try this. They put together a huge herd of more than 260,000 cattle and set out for Sedalia.
There were many problems on that first cattle drive. The country was rough, grass and water, sometimes hard to find. Bandits and Indians followed the herd, trying to steal cattle. Farmers had put up fences in some areas, blocking the way. Most of the great herd was lost along the way, but the cattlemen believed they had proved that cattle could be walked long distances to the railroad. They believed a better way to the railroad could be found, with plenty of grass and water.
The cattlemen got the Kansas Pacific Railroad to extend its line west to Abilene, Kansas. There was a good trail from Texas to Abilene. Cattlemen began moving their herds up this trail, across the Oklahoma Territory, and into Kansas. At Abilene, the cattle were put on trains and carried to Chicago. In the next 4 years, more than 1.5 million cattle were moved north over the Chisholm Trail to Kansas. Other trails were found as the railroad moved farther west.
Trail drives usually began with the spring roundup. Cattlemen would send out cowboys to search the open grasslands for their animals. As the cattle were brought in, the young animals were branded, marked, to show who owned them. Then they were released with their mothers to spend another year in the open country. The other cattle were put together for the long drive to Kansas. Usually, they were moved in groups of 2,500 to 5,000 animals. 12 to 20 cowboys took them up the trail.
The cowboys worked hard on a trail drive. They had to keep the herd together day and night and protect it from bad men and Indians. They had to keep the cattle from moving too fast or running away. If they moved too fast, they would lose weight, and their owner would not get as much money for them. The cowboys would walk the cattle only 20 to 30 kilometers a day. The cattle could feed all night and part of the morning before starting each day. If the grass was good and the herd moved slowly, the cattle would get heavier and bring more money.
In the early 1880s, the price of cattle rose to $50 each, and many cattlemen became rich. Business was so good that a $5,000 investment in the cattle industry could make $45,000 in 4 years. More and more people began raising cattle, and early cattlemen greatly increased the size of their herds. Within a few years, there was not enough grass for all the cattle, especially along the trails. There was so much meat that the price began to fall.
There were two severe winters that killed hundreds of thousands of cattle. An extremely dry summer killed the grass, and thousands more died of hunger. The cattle industry itself almost died. Cattlemen also had problems with farmers and sheepmen. Farmers coming west would claim grassland used by the cattle growers. They would put up fences and plow up the land to plant crops. Other settlers brought huge herds of sheep to compete with cattle for the grass, and the sheep always won. Cattle would not eat grass where sheep had eaten. Violence broke out. Cattle growers fought the farmers and sheepmen for control of the land. The cattlemen finally had to settle land of their own, putting up fences and cutting the size of their herds. They no longer could let their cattle run free on public lands.
By the late 1800s, the years of the cowboys were ending. But the story of the cowboy and his difficult life would not be forgotten. Even today, the cowboy lives in movies, on television, and in books. When one thinks of the Wild West of America, he does not think of the miners who opened the way to the West. Nor does he think of the men who struggled to build the first railroads across the wild land. And one does not think of the farmers who pushed slowly westward to fence, plow, and plant the land.
The words Wild West bring to mind just one character, the cowboy. His difficult fight to protect his cattle on the long trail was an exciting story. It has been told by many writers. Perhaps the best known was a young Easterner, Owen Wister. He worked as a cattleman for several years, then wrote about the heroic life of the cowboy in a book called The Virginian. Another Easterner who came west to learn about the cowboy was the artist Frederick Remington. Remington was a cowboy for only 2 years, but he spent the rest of his life painting pictures of the West and writing about it. His exciting works made the West and the cowboy come to life for millions who never saw a real cowboy.
The cowboy has also lived in music. He had his own kind of songs that told of his problems, his hopes, and his feelings.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.